If you've probably noticed in the weather that it's been very, very cold of late. We had a rather wet November, December. January has been the complete opposite. Clear skies and very cold nights. And if you stand in the garden or somewhere outside at this time of the year and look at the night sky, there's an awful lot to be seen. And to, well, try and decipher all of that and explain just what it all is Jane Green. Morning, Jane.
Good morning, Tony.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. As you say, quite warm because I'm tucked up warm here at the moment, but I have been outside at night getting really, really cold, but loving it.
It's chilly is the only way I can describe it, yeah. But it is nice, and I tell you what, it's well worthwhile getting out in the garden or somewhere with a cup of something hot to drink and stand and look at what's in the sky, because it's just phenomenal at the moment. We take our dogs out at night, stand and look up at the sky, and well, it's just amazing what there is there. And well, for someone like me, it's kind of mind-boggling, and you think, wow, just explain a bit more, would you?
Well, I mean, you're so right, Tony. We spend so much time looking down that we don't really often bother to look up, do we? I mean, I do. No. Because obviously I love it, but we really do need to look up, and especially at the moment, because, you know, when you look up into the night sky, you'll see that it is just so clear. The sky has been amazing over the last week or so. It doesn't get any better than that. So you need to be outside looking up, as you say, wrap up warm and just get looking. Also, you know, all the winter constellations, so the patterns in the stars, if you don't know what they are, the Sky at Night magazine, BBC Sky at Night magazine, or just Google it, constellations for this time of year, and you'll have like a map as to what those stars are, where they can be found. And it's well worth doing because it's absolutely glorious up there at the moment. It just doesn't get any better.
Yeah, I say looking up, I mean, the one thing it's taught me, because you see the same stars in the summer night sky, but just in a different configuration. They're just in different places. But then you've got the planets. And at the moment, Mars sits pretty much, I think, directly above us. And what I can only describe as almost like a Jaffa cake orange. And you can't miss it. It's beautiful.
Yes, absolutely stunning. As you say, it's about 62 degrees up from the horizon. In the constellation of Taurus, the bull. So that's sort of a V-shaped collection of stars. Mm. And you need to be looking south. But as you say, Tony, if you look up, the orange point of light, quite large point of light as well, is the planet Mars. And of course, it was at opposition last month on the 8th, which meant that it was on the same side of the sun as us, but opposite to us, obviously, which meant that it was closer to us. So it appears much bigger. But of course, as this month and February start to progress, it gets slightly smaller in its apparent size. So you need to be looking now. A pair of binoculars will clearly show that it's a small orange disc. But if you're lucky enough to have a telescope, then you can see the dark and the light shaded areas on there as well, which is well worth taking a look. In fact, a bigger telescope will show you the polar caps in the north and the south.
Well, of course, we're learning more and more about Mars as we get information back from NASA, aren't we? They've got their Mars rovers. I believe they're still working and still sending back pictures periodically.
And they most certainly are.
It seems
stunning,
to amaze us
stunning
all.
Stunning views.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's like a rocky beach, isn't it?
It's incredible. I mean, you know, the views of the craters, the views of the rock formations, the where the riverbeds used to be. Oh, absolutely stunning. And we're just so lucky that we have this information at our fingertips now, that you can, you know, press the keys on your laptop, go to the NASA site and elsewhere, and you're just bombarded by the most spectacular images that have beamed down to us. And it's stunning, absolutely stunning.
The wonders of tech, the wonders of technology, I think, there. And, you know, it's one of the... I call it static, although we know, of course, the planets themselves aren't static. They're like most things in the night sky. They are moving around. But pretty much for most of us, if you look up one night and look the next night, you'll see pretty much the same static planets in the sky. But occasionally you'll see something zoom across the sky. You'll see some flashes and stuff. But then there's some comets about as well. And one, I kind of noted this down, actually, is comet, is it 2022 E3 ZTF. Who names that?
A very good question. Okay, so it's C2022 because it was first discovered in March 2022. And the ZTF stands for the Zwicky Transient Facility, which is a telescope facility in California that does night surveys of the sky sort of every two nights. It does a full survey, and they discovered it. So for anyone who doesn't know what a comet is, comets can originate from the closer edges of the solar system, so in the realms of the orbiting planet Neptune, around that area, and then beyond. So we have planets coming from the colder reaches of the outskirts of the solar system. These are like giant lumps of rock and ice. They're all orbiting the sun. But then occasionally we have comets, which are large chunks of, you know, effectively fuzzy snowballs that originate from much, much, much further away from the solar system. And if we think of an astronomical unit, an astronomical unit is a distance between our sun and our planet. So it's about 93 million miles. Well, these comets come from 50,000 to 100,000 astronomical units away from our sun. So way, way out there in the deepest, darkest, coldest reaches of space. But every now and then they can be nudged into an orbital path that brings them looping around our sun and going back out again. And this comet, the comet C22E3ZTF, is a very, very rare comet passing Earth. It's not been seen since the last ice age, and it's not going to return for about 50,000 years, because that's how long it takes to orbit our sun. So it's currently about 28 million miles away, but we are now able to see it, not with the naked eye just yet, although that may well happen in February, but certainly with a pair of binoculars and obviously with a telescope, you can clearly see that it glows green. It's a green streak, and that's a result of a reactive molecule called dicarbon, which emits green light when it decays. So it's clearly green, and it has a streaking tail, which is the particles that are evaporating from the head of the comet in a direction away from the sun. So if I don't know if anybody's looked, if you've Googled it, you can see there are some stunning pictures of it already. But it gets exciting whenever a comet passes our way. It always gets exciting because we don't see that many of them. And obviously they're lovely things to see. So it's quite small at the moment, but the astronomers are anticipating that it will get quite a bit brighter, that the tail indeed could get a little bit longer. So you need to get outside and get looking. And with these clear skies, now is the time to do so. So obviously you need to know where to look. And it's actually quite easy to find, because you need to be looking north in the constellation, what we call a group of stars called the Great Bear. Mm-hmm. And it's quite near Polaris, the North Star, as well.
So now that would be something that people would be able to watch, see.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's always up. It's what we call, it's always transiting. So it's visible the entire night long. So clearly visible in the Northern Hemisphere. So for Northern Hemisphere observers, it's circumpolar. That's the word I was looking for. So you can see it all night long. The Great Bear looks like a plough, but I think rather it looks like a collection of seven stars that form a saucepan with a bent handle.
Yeah, that's the one I know.
That's right, that's the one most people know.
Yeah.
And if you look at the two stars that form the pointers, so the two stars on the right-hand side of the bowl of the saucepan, draw an imaginary line through both of those straight up, and the first star you come to, that's Polaris, the North Star, marking the northern axis of Earth. And the comet is going to be just south of that at the end of this month. So pretty much any time now. So that's the area that you need to be looking at. It's going to be absolutely stunning.
Well, you make that all sound rather easy and simple. Just give us that catchy name of that comet again.
Comet C2022 E3 ZTF.
Yeah, okay, we will definitely be on the lookout for that one. The other thing, of course, that's in the sky every month and disappears for a couple of days and then comes back and sort of it's almost like a growing session every month, isn't it? The moon goes from sort of a little sliver in the sky to this ball in the sky. And of course we've had lots and lots of super moons. Anything like that this month?
Well, funny you mention it, Tony. We've had just recently, in fact, just last Saturday, a super new moon. Now, the moon's distance from Earth, it's roughly 240,000 miles, and it can vary by as much as 14% between its closest point, which is called perigee, and its furthest distance from Earth, which is called apogee. And it reached its closest point just a few days ago, in fact, just as I say, just last Saturday, the closest that it's been at any year since 1030, the year 1030. So it reached a distance of 221,000 miles, I think it was. So much, much, much closer. The closest it's been for 992 years, and it's not going to be that close again for a further 345 years, something like 2,000.
We're not going to see it again.
So it's close.
We're not going to see it again.
Close. No, not that close.
I was just wondering where on earth...
Obviously, being a new moon, you don't see it. It's hidden from us, obviously. We don't see it. But it's close. It's very, very close.
I'm just wondering where on earth you store all this information.
it gets harder as you get older.
it's quite something. It really is. So we had a very special full moon. But, of course, we do get, supermoons and stuff. I know in America they call them by different names and stuff. I think they've got a name for a moon for every particular month, and I'm sure at some point that little craze will catch on over here at some point, as we usually follow what goes on in America. But they see different things in the sky, don't they, at the same time?
At different times, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So now we need to mention, Tony, we've got a couple of really exciting planetary conjunctions coming up as well.
I was coming to those, but you've mentioned it before me, so that's good. You're doing me job. That's great.
It's a good time to be looking, not only because of the constellations, though, Tony, but because, you know, we've got some really stunning planets up there. You've got Jupiter in the west still shining brightly. You have Mars almost overhead. But not only that, we've got Venus and Saturn as well. Now, they appear to be close to each other at the moment, and they will be for another few days. So just yesterday, in fact, they were less than 1 degree apart from each other, Venus and Saturn. So if you can imagine, you've got to be looking towards the southwest horizon. They're about 6 degrees above the southwest horizon, but both of those planets were less than the width of your thumb, held at arm's length apart from each other. So they were really close. I mean, that's an incredible thing to see. So that's Venus and Saturn. And then we have another planetary conjunction coming up next month, heading especially to the 1st of March. And this is Venus and Jupiter this time. So two very, very bright planets. They're closing in on each other. On the 15th of February, they're going to be 20 arc minutes apart from each other. So there are 60 arc minutes in a degree. And a degree is about the width of your thumb at arm's length. So imagine the gap. If they're just 20 arc minutes, that's a third of the width of your thumb held at arm's length. That's how close they'll be to each other. And then on the 1st of March, they will still be close. There'll be something like 39 arc minutes as well. So, and slipped in there as well, you've got Neptune too. So there's Venus and Neptune in conjunction, and then Venus and Jupiter on the 1st of March also in conjunction. So they look close to each other in the sky. Of course they're not. They're many millions of miles away from each other. But every now and then they appear to catch up with each other, overtake each other. So they appear close in the night sky, and absolutely stunning. I mean, I remember many, many years ago, very early in the morning, when I wasn't really into astronomy that much, I remember having to join a ship. I worked at sea then, and I was waiting to get into the taxi to go down to Southampton, and I could see this stunning light in the south. And I thought, crikey, you know, what is that? What is that? It's just so bright. And it turned out that it was Venus and Jupiter in conjunction, and they were so seemingly close to each other. They were virtually on top of each other. And it was an incredible sight. I've never seen anything like it before or since. And again, that's going to happen again. We've got Venus and Jupiter getting very, very close. And trust me, that will be a stunning sight. And it's not in the morning. It's at 6:45 in the evening, about 16 degrees up in the sky. You won't be able to miss it. 1st of March. So pop that on the calendar.
Will do. Now, once again, you've actually managed to make sort of very large distances seem very comprehensible, which I find extraordinary, really. The distances you talk about. But you were talking, what was that minute thing you were talking about? A nanominute or something, was it? Or
an arc minute.
That's it, yeah, an arc minute. What is an arc minute?
There are 60 arc minutes in a degree. One degree of sky contains 60 arc minutes, we call it.
Ah, right,
so
gotcha.
It's just the degree split into 60, and then you can work out how close things are from
there. Okay, yeah, got that now. It sounds far grander than when you put it like that. Again, you've made something sound very simple and understandable. Right,
hopefully.
To things that are naturally there, to things that are, well, not naturally there in the night sky. Now, in the summer months, at night, you can stand out and sit out in the garden late at night, and you can watch all sorts of things flying over your head, satellites, the International Space Station, and that doesn't seem to happen quite so much in the winter over the UK. Is there a particular reason for that?
Yes, interesting you say that, actually, funnily enough, Tony, because I was outside looking last night, and I just quickly spied the International Space Station going over. But
what time was that?
Quite quickly. About 7 o'clock.
Oh, no, we were out much later than that, yeah.
And it was just a chance view of it, and it faded quite quickly. The reason you see more in the summer is because of the position of the sun. You can only see these satellites and the space station when their solar sails are at a particular angle so that they reflect the light of the sun. If they're not at that particular angle, then they don't reflect the light of the sun.
You're just not seeing them.
That's right. And trust me, they are.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, Tony, you mentioned that. But just, I saw just a few days ago, there was a report on the internet from the one of the big telescopes down in Chile. And they had taken an image of something. And in that image, there were the image itself was ruined because there were 16 streaks of satellites going across that image. Totally ruined it. And that gives you an idea of just, and that was a small area of sky as well. It gives you an idea of just how many satellites there are up there. Tens of thousands of satellites. It's getting worse because more and more are being launched. And for amateur astronomers, professional astronomers, it's actually quite a nightmare.
Yeah, I can believe it. It's like one man's taken over not just the universe with satellites, but the Twitterverse as well. And changing the world, I think, is the only way we can describe it. But you've explained exactly why we can't see the stuff going over. It is still going over. It's just to do with the sun.
Yes.
And, of course, as once again, makes a very logical answer. Jane, we've actually run out of time, believe it or not. Where does that time go?
Quicker than the satellites.
It's quicker than the satellites. Well, now you've got about 15 minutes, 15, 16 minutes with this one, I think. Right. Jane, good to catch up with you again. Hopefully we can catch up again sometime in February, and we'll take a further look at what's happening in the skies as the nights get a little lighter. Jane Green, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.